Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. I'm Emily Horde, the host of this show and the marketing director at Astoria Co-op. This month, I'm talking with the North Coast Food Web. This local nonprofit works to cultivate a resilient and equitable food system by supporting producers and improving access to local food.
My name is Jesse Jones, and I'm the executive director.
My name is Ellie Dunkley, and I do communications and program support.
And could you give me an overview about the North Coast Food Web?
North Coast Food Web is a nonprofit organization started by North Coast farmers, and we are fully focused on supporting and growing farmer sales. Our mission is to cultivate a resilient and equitable food system by supporting producers and improving access to local food. The North Coast Food Web envisions a community that is home to a diverse and thriving group of farmers, fishers, foragers, and value-added food producers. We believe that fresh local food is accessible for all of us, regardless of who we are, and our financial means and our cultural backgrounds. Local food is a pillar of our regional community and culture and is a visible contributor to our ecological and economic resilience. The concept for the Food Web began in 2011. A group of farmers met in Cannon Beach and talked to each other about how their food could be more accessible to customers on the North Coast, how their fruits and vegetables could be. And then we became a nonprofit shortly thereafter. Early history included an Egg Day and the River People's Farmers Market. And we have had a number of locations. We were in a little house on 18th Street near the hospital. We were also in the old Sears building on Marine Drive, which was then Bowie Brewing. And now we are across the street from here, KMUN, and next to the Fort George Garden. We've been there for a little over a year now. We have a staff of four, including me, and some local contractors as well.
Could you share some stories of successful projects or moments that show your mission in action?
Yeah. So we've been doing a class series or a demonstration series in collaboration with the Library of Things. A couple of years ago, we applied for a grant through the Otson Foundation, and we won it. And using those funds, we purchased kitchen equipment so that people could make food, just lower the threshold for making things. You know, KitchenAid mixers, they're not cheap, nor are, you know, dehydrators or all of these pieces of equipment, these tools that are really helpful if you want to start a food business. So in collaboration with Suzanne Harold over at the Astoria Public Library, we devised this plan where we would purchase this equipment and they would then house it at the Library of Things that was being built in the new library. There's an education component to this grant. So we have been teaching classes or leading demonstrations, and they've been really, really fun. We just had Kenzo Booth come through, and he pickled mushrooms and talked about mushrooms and foraging. Yeah, he showed us how to dehydrate them, how to prepare them for dehydration, and told us how we could use them. And we are having a blueberry jam workshop today, led by Brian Medford. I'm excited. Like, I'm planning a lot of these classes because I want to learn these skills. So I'm excited for that one. So we've just had a couple of classes that have been really fun. Pasta making with Andy Catalano. Next month, Sarah from Gathered is going to teach the basics of cookies. And she's very scientific in her approach to cooking, so that'll be very interesting. What happens if you use a frozen blueberry versus a chocolate chip? How is that going to have an impact on the dough? Anyway, so we've just had some classes that have been really fun.
I would also love to highlight how we support our producers and food makers here, which, like I said earlier, include farmers, fishers, food producers, foragers as well. One of those ways is we charge a very small commission for marketing and selling our vendors' products. We charge 10%. That goes up to 15% if they're using the food web space to store dry goods, and up to 20% if they're using our fridges and freezers to store cold or frozen goods. We love supporting our farmers and producers in that way. And so to that end, we hold a weekly online farmers market that actually started in 2020. We have this weekly farmers market. Farmers upload everything that they would like to sell every week. And then customers get onto our website as well to order their products. And then farmers start delivering those products on Wednesdays. They continue to deliver on Thursday mornings. And then customers come to pick up on Thursday afternoons. We have a couple of new producers that I would love to highlight. And one is Fed Up Farm, which is within about 10 miles from Astoria. And then we have a bagel company called Underwater Bagel Society. And both of them are doing very well, selling out on our market so far. So they're new. It's wonderful to see new vendors be onboarded onto our market and then to just begin to sell out of things. It's a wonderful success to see.
The Salad and Song and the Soup and Song fundraisers that we have, they encompass all of the joy that I feel in this particular food system, food network. We're trying to cultivate and sustain and build and strengthen, because we have food from producers that we then cook up into different dishes, and community members come through, and we have musicians that are playing, and we have our volunteers helping to serve the food. And it's just, it's a really nice time for people to come together. So that was, I mean, the last one that I got to go to, that was really lovely. And I heard that this one was really lovely. But that, just people all working together from many, many different walks, that's a success for our mission, in my view.
So. And the money that is raised from those events goes directly to purchasing free food boxes, which is another one of our projects that's really positive. We receive donations and we purchase food from our farmers and vendors, and we give that food away to the our community members who need it. We started out about 3 years ago or so with 10 boxes a week. Now we do 15 to 20 boxes a week, and we have a wait list for that. So they are very popular. They include local produce, fruits and vegetables, fish, mushrooms, eggs, beef, pork, depending on whether someone is vegan or vegetarian, we can accommodate that. And as one of our volunteers calls it, our free food box program is feeding two birds with one stone. So we are purchasing from our farmers, so supporting our farmers, supporting our mission, and then giving that food to those in need. So it's a wonderful feeling.
I guess just piggybacking off of that, our free food boxes, something this year that we've been able to do while hosting CSAs through Blackberry Bog and through Glory Bee, is sometimes people can't pick up their CSA. We are, with our wait list, able to move that food to someone in need, because these two farms have graciously donated any food that is not picked up by their customers within 24 hours of the pickup period. We are able to then give the food to people on our free food box wait list. So zero food waste, increased food access, just sort of networking need and supply. So that's another success.
Another program in action that's positive is our Coastal Kitchen Network. Back when the food web was on 18th Street, they eventually put in a kitchen to help increase access and opportunities for local chefs who wanted to create a product or cook in a food cart or to be able to sell their food, they had to have a commercially certified kitchen to work in, and the Food Web offered that. When our organization moved from the Little House on 18th to Marine Drive, a lot of funding was put into building a kitchen into that location. We were there for 2 years and our lease was terminated, so we lost that space. This was in 2025. That kitchen itself had brought in $25,000 of revenue in 2024. The kitchen was also low barrier, so we charged $10 an hour to use the kitchen, which is a great price. So when we lost that kitchen, it was a loss to the Food Web, it was a loss to the community, and especially a loss to those who were using the kitchen on a regular basis to cook, to store their food, and it was also just kind of a nice little community gathering space. So what we did was pivot and began to look for underutilized spaces on the North Coast region between Astoria and Tillamook. And we ended up being successful with three locations. One of those is the OSU Seafood Lab, close to the co-op, actually. And they are honoring the $10 an hour as well. So we have two producers in there right now, the Spice and Tea Lab, putting together their teas, and Ellie's Jellies, making candy. So that's been a wonderful partnership. Having to create something in times of loss is a wonderful way to learn more about your community and to see who can come through. And OSU Seafood Lab has really come through as a great partner. Also, the Liberty Theater has a commercial kitchen that was underutilized. And through our partnership, the Food Web and the Liberty Theater, we helped to get them to get a conditional use permit to actually allow, it's called light manufacturing. So if working in a kitchen is known as light manufacturing, and so they are now renting their kitchen out as well. And then a restaurant down in Nehalem called Buttercup is also hosting one of our producers, GB's, who makes her delicious Sunday gravy. And we are continuing that, continuing to look for more kitchens to open up.
You've tuned in to KMUN. This production is Beach Grassroots, a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. I'm Emily Horde, the host of this show and the marketing director at Astoria Co-op. Let's get back to my conversation with Jesse Jones and Ellie Dunkley of the North Coast Food Web. And could we go into your personal connection of why you got involved and what's kept you going through this?
I began working for the Food Web in January of 2025. Before that, I worked for more than two decades with conservation on the Oregon coast, doing salmon habitat restoration and ecological work, community science training of volunteers, and had actually worked with a number of farmers over the years on cooperating on salmon habitat restoration work. So a lot of farmers here live near wetlands or near streams, and a lot of them take measures for healthy land. And eventually, so I was doing a lot of traveling for the job around the Oregon coast. And at the end of 2024, I decided, not knowing that this job was available yet, that I wanted to work more and directly with the Astoria community and serve the Astoria community and the North Coast community more directly and walk to work. And then this job came up. And so that's how I ended up. I've been following the North Coast Food Web for a very long time. In fact, when they opened their kitchen on 18th Street, I was very excited for the community to see what was going to happen. I shopped at River People's Farmers Market. And when I was growing up in the Coast Mountain Range, not too far from here, my parents, we had a garden. We also depended on our local food bank. And so food access has always been very important to me. And the idea that we could, that I could help to be a part of them, something that was connecting our locally grown food with our local community, was just so appealing and exciting to me.
I guess I got involved with FoodWeb because I wanted to pickle some beets, and I didn't want to pay $4 a pound at the grocery store for beets. And I thought, surely there's someone who has a surplus of beets that aren't very attractive that could go into a can, no problem. And FoodWeb had a bunch of bulk beets. I just wanted to pickle some beets, and I wanted bulk beets. And so I went to the FoodWeb. Someone told me about a place that sometimes does bulk pricing. And when I went there to pick up my beets, I found out that they had run out of they're having some difficulty with funding because of things happening at a federal level. And I thought, well, hey, we could throw you a benefit, a musical benefit. My friend and I play some music. What if we did that? And it turned into a really big event. I thought, oh, we'll just get some bands together. But it ended up turning into a really big fundraising event with an auction and soup for sale and plenty of beer. And it was just a great time. And that was our first soup and song. And we've had another and then a salad and song since. And that's how I got involved as a volunteer. And then maybe, I think it was November of last year, I started doing some communications for FoodWeb. And then February of this year, started really working closer with the organization.
Could you tell me about the support needs for the FoodWeb in terms of volunteers or monetarily or otherwise?
We have volunteers that come in on Thursdays at the moment, and also for events that we're throwing, like the soup and song, the salad and song. But every Thursday we have a couple of volunteers who come in and they help us check in producers' food. They help us pack up boxes for customers, and they just make Thursdays a very enjoyable time. In the future, we are anticipating a greater need for volunteers because we have a new program called Neighbor's Garden, which is a bit slow to take off. When it begins, we think that we're going to need much more help checking in food, packing boxes, and delivering food to people who can't pick up.
We, like any nonprofit, are always doing fundraising in various ways. We are funded by grants, private donations, and a small amount of revenue that we receive helping farmers. Like I said, it's between 10 and 20% of the sales that we have. We have received some money to help to support our work, and we are always looking for more money to help support our work. One of the most difficult items to fund with grants, nearly impossible, is the food itself. When we purchase food, we are purchasing it from the farmers. And I've spoken to grantors and others that, and trying to make the argument, well, and they said, there's no money available for food. And I said, well, what about paying farmers to grow food? And they said, that counts as food. So we're trying to find creative ways to get the money to the farmers. We are, like, mostly right now seeking money to purchase food. Because of the federal funding pause that Ellie mentioned earlier that happened in 2025 and was a big wake-up call to a lot of nonprofits, we are looking at not being so dependent on federal grants anymore. It seems very risky. So we're trying to increase our relationships with private donors and foundations, and also looking for ways to reduce our overhead costs while still providing whatever we can to our farmers and to our customers. And so I would say food right now is a big one. Anyone can contact info@northcoastfoodweb.org. And I think that email is now going to all four of us staff.
So it sure is.
One of our friendly staff will answer you. And then if you would like to talk to me about making a donation or sitting down and talking about how you can support the Food Web, my email is jessie@northcoastfoodweb.org. And that's just J-E-S-S-E, no I.
And I monitor our social media accounts. So if you happen to decide to reach out via Instagram or Facebook, I will reply to you and link you up to whoever would be the best person to answer your question. If you have extra food in your garden, we can accept those donations and put them into our free food boxes. So that is something that we are able to do. The free food boxes, like Jessie was saying, we purchase those. We have to fundraise for them. We apply for grants for them. It's expensive, and we can accept food donations to put in the free food boxes. So if you have some extra zucchini, my zucchini plant is probably going to be sending a couple of zucchini this way because I have three of them, and that is too many apparently for a household of two. It's popping off. I have four zucchini in 2 days. It's ridiculous. But so zucchini's a good, you know, it's a great filler for these boxes. I personally love zucchini. I just can't eat 6 pounds of it every day. But yeah, if you have extra food, if you'd like to donate it to us, we will find a home for it, either in our free food boxes directly or in the wait list. And we're putting together our food boxes Wednesday and Thursday. So those are the days.
Oh, that's really good to know. Thanks. Is there anything else that you wanted to add that we didn't get to?
Yes, I would love to go into a little bit more about how we support our producers. We provide technical assistance through a grant from Business Oregon, and then through another grant with Oregon Community Foundation, Thriving Entrepreneurs. And you can find out, there's some minimal information about this on our website, but again, you can contact us and we will put you in touch with the right person. We provide referrals to local resources and providers. I mentioned earlier that we have an online marketplace, and so one of the things that we do in terms of technical assistance is help producers who want to be a part of that online market get onto that site, upload their items, kind of give them an account. It's called Local Farmer Marketplace. Onboarding vendors. There are workshops and trainings to learn more about farming and food business topics. We do partner with OSU Extension. Shannon at OSU Extension is our farmer extension agent, and we work together to find out what the community needs, and the Food Web really supports through helping farmers sell. OSU Extension provides another type of assistance, particularly with farming. They're doing some bean growing and figuring out what types of beans grow well here.
There's going to be a bean trial for Dry Farming Research Institute.
Right.
And OSU is doing a collaborative project with that institute. And 46 North has been working with them for many, many years. And they grow quite a few beans. They dry farm quite a few beans as part of this trial. And it should be very cool.
We host pop-ups for free. We hold networking events to build relationships, so our local food link, connecting food buyers with food sellers. We have opportunities to enable food producers to share their knowledge, like the classes that Ellie was talking about. And we offer consulting services too, that we receive money and then help to pay for any type of consulting services, like grant writing, food science needs, food production expertise, that type of a thing. So that would be with our food producers. I wanted to also mention that we work with small farms. I don't know if I said that, like very, very small farms. And in Oregon, a small farm is considered less than 500 acres, but 67% are actually less than 50 acres. And a lot of our farms are much smaller than that on the North Coast community. So we work with very, very small farmers. This service is something that is really important to those small farmers. And we currently work with over 60 food vendors. That includes farmers as well.
Our online market's open year round, which means that when the farmers market closes, there's another avenue for continuing to share resources to sell food to the public from local farms.
I wanted to add one more thing too, that we are thinking about climate change at the Food Web. And recently I met with Tamara from Astoria Sunday Market to talk about how the Food Web space, which is just a couple of blocks away from Astoria Sunday Market, can be a resource on inclement weather days. So for example, today it's over 80 degrees in Astoria, but we have fridges and freezers. Tamara will be speaking with her vendors, letting them know that if they need to store anything at our location on those days at this Astoria Sunday Market, they can do so. Also, if those producers, those farmers aren't able to sell because the market was shut down for some reason, we will open up our space, let our customers know that we will be there. And so we are working to figure out how we can help in those times too.
If anybody has any stories about food production in Clatsop County, we'd love to hear them, like historic food production. Because like Jesse was saying, most of the farms that we work with are quite small. There's some reason for that. It's a bit difficult at times to grow food out here, but not impossible. It just requires specialized knowledge. We used to grow more food out here, and we're just interested to hear that. It's just really interesting, I think, and really important. An important part of Clatsop County history in general.
And it's inspiring to hear those stories, too.
Definitely. We're trying to build a local, resilient food network, you know, for so many reasons. It's good for the local economy. It's good for everybody who lives here. There are a lot of global things that can happen that can disrupt supply chains, and it's honestly a safety concern. And so to have local food networks here is as much about helping your neighbor as it is about disaster resilience and planning for something that you don't want to happen, but it might.
Mm-hmm. And here, when you shop local, you know your local farmer. So you know, for example, where your lettuce is coming from. Also, we sell meat and a number of other things, and we haven't been affected by inflation hardly at all because everything is coming within 100 miles. Yeah, like what Ellie was talking about, thinking about safe in so many different ways with local food.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you. Mm. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us, Emily.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can learn more about the North Coast Food Web at northcoastfoodweb.org. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org. Thank you.